This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to be rejoining the story about all that is unfolding in Egypt in a bit. But first, here's a question. When you think about highbrow culture in Boston, what comes to mind? Academia, of course. The city is packed with world-class colleges and universities. The Symphony, the BSO, is certainly world-class. The Museum of Fine Arts certainly makes the list. But what about Boston's Institute of Contemporary Art, or the ICA? A provocative article in Boston Magazine begins this way. When the ICA opened its doors 5 years ago, the museum was heralded as Boston's shrine to serious provocative contemporary art. Instead, it's been home to a disappointing string of shallow, bling-tastic displays. Ouch! The article was written by Rachel Slade, who's here to talk about it, and it's good to have you, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Also in the studio is art critic Sebastian Smee of the Boston Globe. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Sebastian.
Good
to
have you.
I'm going to just stick with Rachel for two or three questions because I want to get sort of the essence of her piece out. Then I thought the three of us could discuss it. Rachel, you have a few concerns about the new ICA, beginning with the building itself, which opened back in 2006.
That's right. So I was very excited when the ICA was going up. I'm actually an architect by training. But what really concerned me was that what was built was essentially what we call a sketch model. It was a very strong idea, this enormous cantilever stretching out over the water. It was going to be really provocative. And yet it didn't necessarily address the realities of what a museum needed to have inside. So I think what ended up being built was this very beautiful sketch model, and all of the art is then herded up onto the fourth floor. So when you walk in, it takes a long time for you actually to experience the art. And the other problem for me, which I think a lot of critics have, is that this beautiful cantilever actually ends up putting in shadow what could be a terrific public experience, those bleachers that look out over the water. And we know Boston is pretty cold, especially today. There is no way that you can sit out there except maybe, hopefully, in July. So there were these massive public gestures that ultimately ended up, being less than satisfying.
You also, and this really gets to the heart of your piece, take a whack at the art itself. And the thrust of your criticism is that the ICA selections are too safe, I think. Is that right? I mean, is that sort of a good way to encapsulate the criticism? And how so?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, you have to understand that contemporary art can be pretty tough to swallow, and congressmen are very busy shutting down things that they find less than appealing. So I think that when you're in a city like Boston, you expect people to really push the envelope and show what innovation can be. And I really appreciate your introduction because, of course, you know, we are pushing innovation everywhere throughout the city. In fact, that area of Boston is supposed to be, according to the mayor, an innovation district. Mm. So when you see
this is down by the waterfront, for folks that don't know. Or what's that part of the waterfront called?
Good question.
Yeah, right. This, I mean, it's not a part of Boston that everybody goes to, and it doesn't sort of roll off the tongue. But anyway.
Well,
yeah.
People have called it the Pham Pier. People have called it the South Boston Waterfront. The mayor would like us to call it the Innovation District. And the reality is that what we have is this very kind of compelling building that's supposed to be showing innovative art, and we're getting a lot of what I like to call blue chip contemporary art. It's great, match the drapes sort of art, and yet it's not really interesting from a global standpoint.
So, for example, back in 2009, they had a Shepherd Fairey exhibit, right? And for everyone will remember, the centerpiece of that was that iconic Hope poster of Barack Obama. So, what's wrong with Shepherd Fairey?
Okay, so Shepherd Fairey is a really great graphic artist, and in fact, he did go to RISD, so he's one of our own. I do feel that, and yet he is just that, a graphic artist. And what he does is he does mashups of different imagery, and he's very adept probably at Photoshop is what he's working with. And so he puts out beautiful images and a lot of sloganeering. And yet, in the end, it leaves you feeling good in a way because, oh, isn't it pretty? And yet it's not really, again, pushing anything forward, really talking about what art could be, which is a lot of things these days. He looks great on the web. You can download a lot of his images, and it looks as good on the screen as it does, I think, up on the wall.
Hmm. Now, we did ask the Institute of Contemporary Art to come on the show, or at least to provide us with a statement in response to your piece, because we thought it took a pretty strong whack at them. The ICA declined, but I do want to bring in perhaps another perspective into the conversation. Sebastian Sneed, arts critic for the Boston Globe. What's your take? Is this criticism correct in part, in all, or nothing? What's your take on this?
Well, look, you know, I enjoyed reading Rachel's article. I thought it was provocative, and you know, there's nothing wrong in having this kind of a discussion.
Which is why we're doing
it. Exactly. And you know, I have to say, I arrived in Boston 3 years ago, just after the new ICA in its new waterfront home opened. And I have to say I have a bit of a different take. You know, I'm the art critic at the Globe. My main interest is whether they put on good exhibitions. And, you know, I differ with Rachel because I actually think that although I haven't liked all of their exhibitions, I think they have a really strong record over the last 3 years for putting on strong shows, really, really good shows. I mean, exhibition.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, just to give a few examples, you know, I mean, the Anish Kapoor exhibition, which was the first show, in fact, that I reviewed in Boston. Then you had Tara Donovan. You've had artists like Mark Bradford, who's on there at the moment, and Charles Ledray, whose show has moved on to the Witten Museum. Yes, these are great artists, and in some sense you could talk about them as blue chip artists. But I would, you know, doubt whether any of them are actual, you know, really big household names. And a new institution that's just opened has to put on art that's going to bring in some people. It doesn't mean that art isn't challenging and incredibly innovative. In all those four cases, it has been.
So it seems like you're making a case that there is a sort of balance there being presented of sort of on the edge art and perhaps safer art. I mean, more, there is a sort of acceptable balance in your view?
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's interesting for a museum to decide to put on a show of someone like Shepard Fairey too. I think, you know, that raises so many interesting questions. I mean, he comes out of a culture of street art. He's become a big commercial phenomenon too, and there are so many questions you can ask about that. But it's a kind of bold thing for a museum to do, to put on a show in an art museum of work that's more associated with graphic art and so on. And I think it raised a lot of questions, was enormously popular, and also controversial in a healthy kind of way. It raised a lot of questions.
Rachel, I want to come back to another point that you make in this piece and discuss it a little bit. You say that at the heart of what you view as the ICA sort of play it safe mode is money. That is, you point out that a lot of the money for the museum came from the city's financiers and venture capitalists. In your view, how is that contributed to what the ICA does?
Okay, so you're taking some very powerful business people in this city, people who have never aligned themselves necessarily with a cultural institution, and you're putting them on your board. And these are people who are used to having say over anything that they get involved with. That's how they're successful. And so I think it's exciting for them to be able to actually build a monument to their unprecedented success, absolutely. But my concern is that they've been very involved in helping the curators along, selecting who to show. And I think some really...
And that's a problem because financiers aren't necessarily critical art collectors?
Well, let's see. I mean, would you like, I don't know, Bill Gates to select your art for you in your own home? There are actually people who are trained to do this. And I think that they have had some very young curators who are easily manipulated. And so I suspect, based on what I've seen so far, that that they've been doing this play it safe attitude so that they can bring people in but also satisfy the people who are very wealthy and just starting out collecting. And of course, if you're just starting out collecting, you're going to go for the big names. You want them in your institution. You want those big names. And the first show that they had, the inaugural show, demonstrated exactly that. It was basically a survey of all the blue chip art. You had a Jeff Koons, and you had a this, and you had a that. It was saying, we have arrived. We have a big, beautiful, shiny new building, and we're going to put all the big names in here, and therefore put themselves on the map as we have arrived. I think it's as clear as that.
Sebastian Sneed, respond to that. I mean, is there a positive side to having this kind of money involved in this museum?
Look, every major museum has, wealthy trustees. I mean, it's just par for the course. I mean, look at the trustees at MoMA. It's incredible. I mean, I think Rachel's making some allegations there that, you know, she may have some inside knowledge, but, you know, it's very hard for any of us to say how much control these people are having over what shows are being put on. But once again, I'd return to the fact that, I would just insert that that first show wasn't reviewed very well. I mean, and ever since then, they've really been concentrating on solo shows by really well-respected artists and bringing them to the attention of the Boston public. And I think they've got a national and even international reputation for this already. And I think, you know, Rachel's piece was terrific in the sense that it ended on a very positive and challenging note.
This is where I wanted to go, actually, because I think it will allow us to sort of end on not only a positive note, but maybe you two will agree here. And let me just sort of talk about what she said at the end. She writes, "And yet I believe the ICA still has the power to be at the vanguard. And Rachel, you have high hopes for the new chief curator, Helen Molesworth, right?"
Indeed, yes. She came from Harvard. I think she has a tremendous intellectual background. And as Jill Medvedel, the director of the RCA, said herself, they're going to try to move away from these single artist shows to group shows that really explore concepts and ideas, which opens it up. You can bring in your blue chip artists, but you can also bring in artists from all over trying to address ideas that are relevant to where we are today as a culture just globally. I mean, we're dealing with some pretty intense stuff right now with Mubarak, and there's certainly going to be art coming out of Africa and North Africa. And let's put it in context with the United States, with what Americans are doing and what Australians are doing. Let's get more contextual things going. That's what the group shows, I think, are about. They really make you think in a broader way about art.
Sebastian, last word to you. Hopeful for the future of the ICA?
Absolutely. But I do think they can look back on the last 3 years and be proud of what they've done. I think, you know, for an institution in this period, this financial environment, they've done a terrific job. And I'm very hopeful for the future.
Thank you both for coming in and for agreeing to disagree. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Sebastian Smee. He's the art critic for the Boston Globe. And Rachel Slade, home design editor at Boston Magazine and the author of the article in the latest edition of Boston Magazine. We'll be back with the latest news on Egypt and the view from young Egyptians here in Boston. Stay with us. It's Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarti.